afternoon. It's still morning? Ah, okay. You lose time here in the hotels. You don't know what's what. This lecture is Chinuch Yeladim, Raising Children. And in this shiurim, this kind of lecture, it's better to ask a lot of questions, because I'm sure you have a lot of questions that you need to know certain things. The Torah say to a person that a part of the life of the parents is to dedicate lots of their time and efforts to raise their children in the way of the Torah and the way of Hashem. It requires a lot of efforts. It requires very hard work. Yes, thank you. It requires hard work. It requires to pray a lot for them, to cry a lot for them, to have lots of patience for them. And I would start with telling you a short story that for us right away, we understand right away what we're talking here about. There was a big tzaddik, his name is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a very big rav, probably passed away 15 years ago. As he wrote this famous book, Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, All the Laws of Shabbat, and many other books. And we all know that when a boy has a bar mitzvah, so the father stand up and say, Baruch Sheptarani Meonsho Shel Ze. Bless you who releases me from the punishment of this boy. And the reason that we don't say the name of Hashem, we don't say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Sheptarani Meonsho Shel Ze. We don't say the name of Hashem. So what kind of a bracha is this? Either it's a bracha or not a bracha. It's a bracha without the name of Hashem. Why? Originally, it's supposed to be with the name of Hashem. But why don't we say the name of Hashem? This story will explain why. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the bar mitzvah of his son, he got up and he said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sheptarani Meonsho Shel Ze, with the name of Hashem. He said the name of Hashem. Everyone was very surprised. Rabbi, you just say the name of Hashem for no reason. We're not allowed to say it in this bracha. So he said to them, I'm allowed. What's the difference between him and any other Jew? So he said to them, why do you think we're not saying the name of Hashem? Because in the Ten Commandments, he say you should not say the name of Hashem for false testimony, for a lie, or for an unnecessary thing. Only when it's required. So when a father comes and says the name of Hashem, that you releases me from the punishment of this boy, it's a lie. Because it's not released. It's not really released. What does it mean? He said, I know I never made even one mistake in raising this boy from the day he was born until now. Everything Hashem wanted me to do, I did with him. That's why I'm saying the name of Hashem, it's not a lie. I know I'm dismissed. I'm released from his punishment. But somebody else who made mistake with his children, he cannot come and say, bless you, God, for releasing me from the punishment of this boy. No. Every sin this boy will do until he will one day will be an adult, you still have a share in it. What do you think? For instance, you send your kid to a public school. What did you expect? That he would be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai over there? What did you expect by sending him there? Most parents send their kids to public school to save the money of yeshiva. It's too much money. That's what they think. Really, if you think about it, it's really very, very inexpensive. Why? Your son is having a tutor in a small class with full attention almost 10 hours a day. For 30 days or 26 days, if you take Shabbos off, and then in the end you pay a few $100s, it's very, very inexpensive. And the food there and everything, amazing. It's a longer hour than public school. And, you know, and eventually they make him a human being. They teach him all the manners. So really, it's not expensive. The problem is when you have a lot of children, it accumulates to a big amount, and some parents trying to save it. But I also find parents that are loaded with money and they still don't want to send their kids to public school, to yeshiva, only to public school. Why? It's better academics, Rabbi. I want him to know a lot of math. I want him to know English in a very high level. I want you to know all kinds of things because I want him to go to college. I want him to be a lawyer. I want him to be a doctor. First of all, it's really not correct because I know many, many lawyers, Haredi lawyers and doctors that went to yeshivot and then went to college and they are very successful doctors, very successful lawyers. So it's not thanks to the school. But even if it was true, what comes first? What God told you to do with your children or what your foolish dreams are? What comes first? We have priorities in life. My creator told me, I want you to teach your son Torah. I want him to be holy. I want him to pray. I want him to put tefillin. I want him to be an honest person. I want him to know how to respect, to be grateful, not to be a liar, not to be a crook, to watch his eyes, to be a modest human being, not to touch girls until he gets married. This is what I want your children to be. If they can be this and also a doctor, fine. But if being a doctor would make them not be all the things that I say, you have no permission to send them to a place that they'll be lawyers or doctors. Who cares? Parnassar will come to them with or without it. You know, I don't need them to be doctors to send them money. But what it's critical is what gonna come out of your kids? Holy kids or monsters? What's gonna come out of your children? The Chazal is telling us something very interesting. Let me read it to you. Anosei Isha, someone who gets married, Yachshov Leshem Shamayim, will think, it's not only that my wife is beautiful and attractive and this and that, she comes from this and she has money and she has education. This is all what a person wants from his wife or the husband to have, all the skills. But that's of course important. Of course, I'm not saying it's not important. But there are things that are more important than that. Listen good. Listen good. It says like this. Anosei isha yachshov leshem shamayim. Person that gets married, he has to have in mind before he makes the mitzvah of getting married, I'm marrying this woman for the sake of mitzvat pru urvu. The first commandments in the Torah from 613, God said to the man and the woman, have children. It's mitzvah to have children. שיקיים פריה וביה, that will multiply and have kids, ויהיה לו זרע, עובדי השם יתברך ויראי שמיים. That his descendants will be servants of Hashem and fearful from God. Not for the desire of being with a woman, the opposite. He has to have in mind that one of the things I'm expecting with this marriage is to save me from making sins with other women. That's why I'm focusing. I want to be able to get married, that will save me from going and making all kinds of sins because of the desires. שלא יתאווה לנשים אחרות. He has to pray to Hashem, this wife that you give me, please have it. Please bring me full satisfaction in life from this wife that I don't need to look out and to go to places I'm not allowed to go. And when I have that, I have my strong desire only to this woman. And that whenever I'm going to be with her, it's a part of being healthy. Because when a person releases some of the seed from his body every once in a while, it's healthy for his health. But not like the psychologists say, the more you do it, the better it is. No, it destroys the health. Once in a while is good. All the time it's destroyed. It makes the person weak. It makes him his breath smell. It makes his underarm smell. His teeth become weak. And he causes all kinds of sicknesses, as the Rambam writes, for a person who does it just like an animal. And he continue and he say that I would like to have children, righteous children with this woman. And that we all together will fulfill our mission in life. Listen to the list of the instructions of the requirements. And this is what King Solomon wrote, Bechol drachecha da'ehu, vehu yasher orchotecha. In every way that you walk, you have to know God. Ya'azov adam et kol ha'avot. A person should live alone all the loves and the desires that he have and focus completely, what? In loving Hashem, and now when he gets married, to love his own wife. Everything that a person does out of love to Hashem, obviously it's in a much higher level that he does it out of fear. It's always been the holiness of the nation of Israel in the modesty between the man and the woman. This was the main thing. When you say, what's special about these Jews? They are very holy people. What makes them holy? They are very modest. That they are different than all the other nations. That's why marriage by the Jewish nation, it's a very big simcha. And the husband and wife, in the day of their marriage, if they do full repentance, they can erase the sins of their entire life, even better than Yom Kippur. Who knows why? Why God made a rule that when you get married, you have an opportunity to start clean? Why it's so important? Let's see if you're clever, no? I'll help you. If everyone come to the marriage with his sins, tomorrow in Chas V'Shalom there's a problem, what's gonna be? Tomorrow when there's a problem, they're gonna start blame each other. It's for your sins. It's for your sins. It's because of you. It's because of what you used to do. It's because of what you used to do. Now God is paying us. We're getting punished. So it said, listen, it's not because of you and it's not because of me. We got married, we made full tshuva, we started clean. Whatever happened is both of us together after the marriage that brought us what we have. A person should respect his wife more than himself. Give her more respect. If he can afford to respect one of them, her comes first. And to love her like he loves himself. If he has a lot of money, what, he heard money scream? What happened? If he has a lot of money, we'll give her, we'll not be stingy. We'll be generous and help her and bring her help in the house. We'll never make his wife scared from him. Never. That's not the right way. We'll always speak to her in a nice way without anger and without putting any fear on her. The woman has to respect her father, her husband, a lot, and we treat him like a king, like a minister, and to do everything she can that his attraction will be only to her and not to other women. Many times, when a man does bad things in his marriage, it's also the fault, not always, but it's also the fault of the wife. Why? I'll give you an example. She's very religious. She's a modest woman. By the time he comes from work, she already had a hard day with the kids or shopping, all kinds of things. So she doesn't look nice as she goes to the supermarket. She put her beautiful wig, that makeup, that Tony and Vinny, everyone would see her in the supermarket coming like this. Wow! But when she goes back home, she put a piece of schmatte on her head. Of course, no makeup. She doesn't care how she looks, you know. So when the husband comes home, she's already not in a mood. She had a hard day. She's not pretty for him. And it's been going on for months. And then he's getting tired of the situation. He said, what kind of wife I have? So boring, so this, every. She's not in a mood. She's not as a. This is a big mistake. Later, when he begins to cheat on her, she wakes up. But now it may be too late because somebody has took his heart. So the Torah already told the women, be clever before it happens. Just because you married, you don't have a life insurance or policy. If you will push the husband away from you and you don't give him what he needs from a woman, he will shalom go and find it somewhere else. That's why I always tell the women, when you go to the supermarket, don't be pretty. Over there, you're not supposed to be pretty for all the amigos to look at you. But when your husband comes home, 5-10 minutes before, you put your wig and whatever, or whatever you want, nice clothes, that he will be proud that this is my wife. Because people are people, and as holy as you are, it's still important, the beauty of your wife. You know, this is all these things that I'm telling you between husband and wife reflects a lot about the way the children grow. For instance, if the kids see that the father and the mother love each other, respect each other, you know, even though it's not recommended so much to show passion one to another next to the kids when they're too young, but there's also something good about it, that they know I grew up in a house that there was great harmony and respect. When they grow up, the girl and the boys, they would know only one way, the way of my father, the way of my mother. And sometimes you get a compliment from the children to the wife, and you hear what they say about you, and you know you are in the right way. Or they talk about the mother to you, and she hears that she's in the right way by what the kids say, because the kids are not dumb. They understand what's happening here. One of the things that a person should know, it's not enough you send your kids to yeshiva, because yeshiva, they teach a lot of Torah, and they teach some manners, and they raise the children a little bit for you, but most of the job you still have to do. If you send him to yeshiva and then he come home and watch television, I don't think there's anything dumber than this. What is it like? It's like filling up the bucket every morning, from the morning to the afternoon, with water. Comes 5 o'clock, kick it, and everything spill. Every day the same thing. If a person does it like this, what do you say? This is not normal. What is he doing? Sending him 5, 7, 10 hours to yeshiva, he come with all the learning, then he see no modesty, television, cursing, screaming, lying in the house, all kinds of not modest people come to the house. And then, of course, they begin to see that there's two kinds of worlds. There is this world and that world. Now, which world the kid will be more attracted to, where the Yetzer Hara will push him? The Satan, the evil inclination, always push us to the negative, not to the positive. So with the help of the Satan, the kids will find themselves in a negative sign eventually. You know how many anti-religious people you have in the world, in Israel, in the rest of the world, that went to yeshiva until 12th grade? How can it be? 12 years he was in yeshiva learning Torah, and now he hates religion, he hates everything? Yeah, it's come from the house. Whatever he learned in the Torah, everything in the house was the opposite. I'll give you an example. Today, we have to give lots of attention to our children, more than you can imagine. Every minute, every hour, lots of attention. Hugs, kiss, talking to them, asking them questions, playing with their toys, taking them in a car around, putting them to sleep, reading them a story, Kriyat Shema, all kinds of things. Why? Because if the kids grow up without attention, it messed up their entire life. There was a story of one boy that all he's trying is to show his father something that he drew. He took something, colors, he drew something. His father comes from work, he's a very busy man, businessman. So as soon as he comes home, he goes to his office in his house and continues to work from the phone after hours. And the boy comes and says, Abba, I want to show you something. Not now. Come back in 10 minutes. Not now. Come back in an hour. I'm busy. Don't you see I'm busy every night like this? One time, the boy came, and he said to the father, I want to show you something. And the father said, I'm very busy now. Close the door. Then after 5 minutes, the father gets a phone call. He doesn't recognize the number. He picks up the phone. And he says, hello? He says, yes. Can I talk to you a minute? He says, who is this? He said, Moishi. He said, Moishi, where are you? He said, I went to the neighbors across the street. So why you went there? Why are you calling me from there? He said, I realized the only way to talk to you is on the phone. So I went and I called you. You understand what happened? That day, that father got the point. Wow, he was so excited that something like this happened. So he decided, I don't bring my business home anymore. I come home, I'm with my wife, with my children, we sit, we eat dinner, the kids in the table, Shabbat, instead of sleeping all day like I don't know what, be with the children, learn with them, take a walk with them, play games with them, even things that you don't care about, just pretend that you care. This is building relationship that later when you be old, they'll never forget. There are kids who love their parents, and there are kids who hate their parents very much. They hate them. And, you know, when one day, when the parents needs help, they don't care about them. Because they have bad taste from their childhood, from these parents. And many of the things that happen to our children is from abuse that they went through in a house. Not necessarily physical abuse. It can be verbal abuse. You're a loser. You're zero. Nothing will come out of you. You're a moron. You're dumb. You know what kind of a fool you are. How many times I told you, constantly criticizing him, he lose all his confidence. And don't, horrible things can come up from this person. Most of the things you tell him, he will become like this. Somehow it's the nature of a person. If you tell a person a million times in his life that he's a loser, in the end he become a loser. If you tell him that he's dumb, he will be dumb in the end, because he's already convinced that this is the way I am. Every day I heard that, so I guess I am like this. My father told me 500 times I'm like this, and this is it. I know that, you know, many years after, kids remember good or bad things from the house, and they can never forget that. Sometimes one word can never be cured, and it's very difficult. Now, one more thing we have to know. One thing we need to know is that when the kids grow up, we don't decide for them what direction in life they take. We can give them advice, but we don't force them. You want to live off my money? You go to law school. Why? Your cousin is a lawyer, you also be a lawyer. If not, I'm not paying for your college. Things like this is a big crime to do. Why? Why the father wants him to be a lawyer? For his ego. Not really for the boy. If he see the boy, tell him, I don't want to be. I'm not going to be happy. I don't like to get this job. Don't want to be in court, standing, protecting criminals. It's not what I want to do in my life. I want to be a musician. What? Musician? God forbid. What, are you going to stand in a wedding and play guitar? This is our family. You know, we are an important family. What is this? Destroy the kid. So he forced him to go there. And he does what you want. And he's not happy in his life. He's a miserable human being. Or same thing, other things in life. No, you do this, don't do this. That's a bad thing. You can talk to him, you can give him advice, you can tell him what you think is negative about it, but you cannot force him. Another big mistake, that you force the kids to be what they cannot be. Why? Because you have a dream that your son will be such and such. So sometimes it comes to the shiduchim, for those who have older kids. They want to go out. Then come the parents and destroyed every good thing about their life. First, he found a girl, but she's not from the same nationality like his parents. So these primitive parents, they don't want someone that it's not like us. Let's be a little bit more clear about it. It could be a Sephardi that same to him, nah, Ashkenazi, it's not like us. We're not going to get connected with them. It's different culture. Don't bring me Ashkenazia. Don't kill me. Don't get me angry. Or the other way around. Sfaradish? You crazy? Why? You're comparing us to them? Don't dare to say this name in my house anymore. Or between Sfaradi to Sfaradi. Bukharians or Kafkazi? Kafkazi? Or the Bukhari? No. We are not like them. We're much better. First of all, it's all nonsense. Nobody is better than anyone. Every individual you have to judge separately. And all these nationality things, it's full of nonsense and all kinds of wrong thoughts that people have. But even if it was true, a human being has no permission to put an X on any other Jew. When it comes to shiduchim, only God knows who belongs to who. Where does it say in the Torah that it has to be only Sfaradi to Sfaradi, or Ashkenazi to Ashkenazi, or Persian to Persian, or Moroccan to Moroccan? Where does it say it in the Torah? It doesn't say it anywhere. You have to let God do his job. You tell your kids, no, I don't let this shidduch happen because she's not like us or her parents are not like us. And Hashem say, okay, you don't let your son get married. There's nothing he can do. No problem. He dies single. He will never get married. And many, there's thousands of kids, boys and girls, who never got married because of their parents. And they will never get married because their parents messed up their life. Why? They wanted somebody like us. Hashem say, wait 1,000 years until somebody like you will come again. You're going to tell me what to do, how to do my job? No, no, absolutely not. So when the boy or the girl wants to get married, this is what you have to check. If the boy or the girl is righteous or not. Yirat Shamayim, learning, not learning, good midot, good personality. Everything else is not important. Rich family or not rich. It's not important. Hashem is the master of the money. This nationality, that accent, that look, not important. What important is the quality of the person. The rabbis in his yeshiva, in his school, recommend him. His name is great. He has good reputation. He's honest. He's not a liar. He's not a crook. He's not an actor. Right? He's not angry. He's not Mr. Gaiva, all day show off. From this kind of people, you have to stay away, regardless what they are. People who are humble and nice and generous and helpful and Baalei Chesed, even if he's not a big Chacham. Who says that everyone has to be Rav Ovadia Yosef or Rav Eliashiv? Who says? What, every... No, no, but I come from a family of rabbis. How my daughter's going to marry somebody that is going to work half a day and hardly knows Torah? But maybe he's a great human being. Maybe in 20 years it's going to be Rabbi Akiva. There are many mistakes that we do. Forcing on our children what we want, most of the time is a mistake, and it's never going to work in the end. In the end, we messed up their life. And one day they explode, and sometimes it's too late. One more problem, when they get married, you're not allowed to give them all kinds of advices in their marriage. Tell them, go to the rabbi who take care of your marriage problems. When parents give advice to their children, they usually make more damage. Come home, leave the house, bring the kid home, come, return home, don't stay with him, don't stay with her, give her a get, let's take her to court, let's do all kinds of things that I hear. It's hard to believe. Of course, the parents mean well for their children, but they don't know the way of the Torah, most of them. And they give the wrong advice, and they messed up their marriage. It could have been 5-10 minutes by the rabbi, and they'll go up, hugged home, and everything will be fine, and never have a problem for the next 20 years. But your stupidity made your daughter get divorced, and now she's a single mother with 2-3 kids, begging for child support. Why? Because you pushed your nose, and you made it worse. Don't push your nose. Your daughter or your son call and cry about the problems. Don't you have a rabbi who knows both of you, who can hear you and see how to handle the problems? Because you cannot be objective, of course. Everyone will take the side of his son or daughter. Cannot see the other side is right. So don't push your nose to things like this. So far, any questions? Yes.
It's a stupid question. How about if it's a Jew that wants to marry like a Muslim or a Christian?
That's right. That's the question.
Huh?
Yeah, that's the question.
I have a friend. He's Jewish and he's engaged to a Muslim girl.
So you ask if the parents should agree to it?
And the boy is dying, let's say.
No, they've been born out for a long time.
Let me marry to that girl who is not Jewish. I will never going
to
marry to anybody else.
How do you say it?
Okay, I understand.
She's trying to do the...
To convert?
Yeah.
She'll probably be dead by the end of the conversion. They don't let their daughters convert. Usually...
She's already converting.
No, but usually what it is, when a Jew go with a Muslim, the Muslim always convince him to become Muslim.
No.
They don't give up their Islam that easy. She's trying to be Jewish.
Yeah.
She's probably not Arab Muslim.
Muslim, Arab.
Arab?
Yeah.
She agreed to convert?
Yeah.
What? She doesn't have
a family? She wants to herself.
Yeah?
Told me,
All right, listen, look. In conversion, it's a problematic issue because if the girl convert for a guy only, Then it's not real conversion. But if she converts for the Torah, it could be fine. But what I'm saying to you is like this. When a boy wants to marry a Goya, or a girl wants to marry a goy, the problem didn't start today. The problem started 20 years ago, the way you raised them. Because somebody who gave good education and good values to his children and taught them Torah and the importance of Judaism, the chance that they will end up with a goy is very, very small. So a problem started 20 years ago. Now you're trying to save it 2-3 weeks before they get married. It's probably impossible.
But maybe it's their thing, how you're saying.
No, it cannot be.
Huh?
No, it cannot be because...
A boy from my yeshiva goes and do that.
Well, after he left the yeshiva, what?
Yes. He left the yeshiva.
Well, when a person leaves the Torah, he goes down. It can happen. But let me explain to you. First of all, it cannot be a match between a Jew to a goy. Why? It's against the Torah. Hashem says it's an illegal marriage. There's no marriage between Jews to non-Jew.
Anyone
that you know, Jew and a non-Jew got married, or by the court or anything, they're not married. Even if a Reform rabbi married them or a priest, doesn't matter. They're not married in the eyes of Hashem. They're just a couple who live together and make sins. You can marry a goya a million times, you're still not considered married. You're a single guy. If one day you meet a Jewish girl and the goya doesn't want to divorce you, you don't need her permission. You go and marry the Jewish girl and leave her alone. Why? You're not married to her. Same thing if she married to a goy, and the goy doesn't want to give her divorce, right? She can go and marry a Jewish guy without his permission because she's not married to him. There's no way to marry goyim. No way. If it's converts, it's not goyim anymore. It's Jews. They converted, they keep mitzvot. First thing you check about the convert, if from the moment he came or she came out of the mikveh, they started to keep mitzvot right away. Shabbat, modesty, kosher, everything. If yes, then they're Jewish. If not, they're not Jewish. If only a month later they decided, now I want to start keeping mitzvot, they need to convert again. In the first minute of the conversion, you check if they started to keep mitzvot or not. If she came out of the mikveh and put her tight jeans, right? Her tight jeans and everything is open and she goes now on the street. Of course she's not Jewish. She didn't accept any mitzvot on her. What is the point of going to the mikveh? The next thing she eats in McDonald's.
There's people that can do it.
That what? Can do what?
You know, two goyim that converted to Judaism.
No, but they keep the mitzvot.
They keep Shabbat.
Everything. Okay, so that's converts. They're legal converts. It's okay. It's no problem. You wanted to ask a question there? Depend. If the woman is a goya, the kids are not Jewish. It's not his kids.
They can't get married.
They're not his kids, yeah. They're not his kids. Still, he has to give them money because he brought them to the world. He cannot neglect them to die, but he doesn't have any spiritual obligations to them. They're goyim 100%. It's not only that. I'll tell you something shocking. Let's see, he has a daughter. His wife, Christine, now they have a daughter. And this daughter, after 20 years, she become a woman, 20 years old, and she come to her Jewish father, and she said to him, I decided to convert. I want to be religious like you. If she convert, he can marry her. The father can marry her.
What?
Yes. But the Chachamim, Chazal, said that it's not allowed. But Hashem said, it's no problem, she's not your daughter. Even though you brought her biologically to the world, your soul and her, there's no connection. So if she converts, she's a new creature. It's like she was born today. And you can marry her. Why? She was never your daughter. The Torah is 100% true, not sometimes yes, sometimes no. If the Torah says, if you brought kids to the world with a non-Jewish woman, they are not your kids. They are not your kids. Can I marry them? Yes. So the rabbis say, don't do it. Why? The goyim will go crazy. They'll say, what? When she was a goya, she couldn't marry her father. Now she became Jewish, she married her father. What kind of religion is that? They won't understand that how can you be that you brought a child to the world and it's right not really your child. Then, yeah.
But there is no logic. If one Jew cannot marry another Jew because the mother doesn't want, because he's an Orthodox, the other one is not an Orthodox, but to destroy a marriage with a boy, a mother is allowed. But you still destroy the life of your son.
Why? Why?
in one case, you are disturbing your son not to get married to, let's say, not an Orthodox.
Yeah.
Because you don't want, and you said you are disturbing the life of your son. Everything
you said could have been true, but you only forgot one thing, that no matter what you think, or I think, or anybody else think, it's zero when God say otherwise. If God say to a Jew, you're not allowed no matter what to marry a goy, even the most righteous goy in the world, and the worst Jew in the world, the worst Jew in the world is not allowed to marry this righteous goy. Even a prophet goy that God speaks to him, like Eov, wanted to marry a Jewish woman, not allowed. The worst Jewish woman. Why? He's not a Jew, you're not allowed to marry him. That's the law. So now, if a parent sees his son or daughter wants to marry a goy, he has to give his life to prevent it. Of course. What's the question? You know, 100%. So it's not destroying their life. Yeah, they'll have 3-4 months of broken heart because they already got in relationship, you know, like they love each other or whatever. That's desires usually. So they get out of it. Nobody ever stayed depressed because he missed his love for the rest of his life. He'll find somebody else, and that's it. He'll forget about his goya. You know how many people, how many Israelis or American Jews that when they met me, they were in relationship with the goya for years or for months, and I got them out of there, and now they are the happiest people. So it was hard for them a month or two. They met somebody else. They got married. They forgot about her. It's not the end of the world. Like, just like everything else in life, sometimes you need to take the pain for X amount of time, and then you get cured out of it. More questions? Yes. Yes.
So I think the question is, when should the parents actually get involved, or should they not?
No, they have to give their kids advice before they go on a first date in their life, what to look for, what to ask for, but they're not allowed to tell them, I want only Ashkenazi, I want only Sfaradi. If they're offering you something not from our community or not, don't take it. Don't agree to go out. Why? Because they may prevent their real shidduch for the rest of their life. Every options that the kids are receiving from people, from Shadchanim, from the rabbi, from the neighbor, they have to check first who the person is. Righteous or not, Shomer Shabbat, modest, has good personality, come from a good family, go for it. Doesn't matter where he comes, Moroccan, Persian, Polish, doesn't matter. Jew, keep mitzvot, it can be good, fine. You're not used to their mentality, everyone learned. You'll eat gefilte fish with them. It's not the end of the world. And they eat Moroccan fish with you. Believe me, usually, most of the time it works beautifully. When it comes to different mentalities and they learn to know each other, it becomes a great catch. And I mean, I tell you from experience, I see a lot of people that nobody would believe that this family would connect with this one. And you know what? Sometimes the family is really not connecting. Big deal. So they don't sit in Leila Seder together, the parents. But the boys and the girl are happy. That's what counts. People think that their kids married somebody that they actually is a package deal. You take us with you to the marriage. You are not marrying your children that you have in-laws to mingle with and to barbecue on Sundays. That's not the purpose of marriage. No, no. Marry only her, because how are we going to talk to the parents? We don't know, we hardly know English. So you don't talk to the parents. You live in Canada and they live in Miami, and you see them once every 5 years and nothing happened. Doesn't have to be chamula, everyone together all the time. It doesn't have to. People have these many things that happens today. Two of the main problems in the Jewish world today is that the Sephardic Jews, many of them still carry a fanatic Muslim mentality in their genes. And the Ashkenazim carry a German Yekke mentality in their genes. And that's what destroyed the Sfaradim, and that's what destroyed the Ashkenazim. What's destroyed the Ashkenazim is this Yekke mentality that everything has to be exactly, and if not, it's the end of the world. This is the German mentality. It's not the Jewish mentality. person has to give up, to be flexible, not to be like a German general. That's not the right mentality. And definitely not to be racist if someone is not as educated or rich as him, to look down at him. And the mentality of many of the Sfaradim, they come with Muslim mentality that it always has to be hospitality, 500 people in a house, it's all about show off, how much food, and we eat, and we cook for a week, and the woman is nothing, she's just a maid in a kitchen. This has to get out of our system. This is the culture of the Goyim, it's not the culture of the Torah. I many times tell some of my young students, you're not allowed to listen to your parents in anything that they say because I already see who their parents are. They have 100% Muslim mentality from the Kafkaz mountain or from Afghanistan or I don't know where. And they think that Judaism is what they learned from the Muslim over there, you know, in Azerbaijan or all these places. Forget about it. Get it out of your system. What the parents think it's right, they are wrong. It's not what Hashem thinks it's right. Or by the Ashkenazim, the same thing. All kinds of things that they carry from Germany or from Poland are not belong to the Jewish system. You got to clean it out. And that's why today you need the rabbi more than ever before, that they can give you the right advice, when to listen to the parents, when not to listen to the parents. If you know how many marriages got destroyed because of the parents' advice, it will make you feel very bad. More questions? Yes. Oh.
I have a family relative that's dating a non-Jew, okay? And the family relative is not even that observant. What do you suggest that I do? Because I think that in 10 years from now, should they get married? I think that he's going to look back and say, like he's going to regret it. So, but if I impose my opinions on him, it can also
I tell you where the problem is. You know what the problem is? The problem is that when a Jew is not religious, there's really no options. And I tell you why. If he was religious and he somehow fell with a non-Jewish woman, so at least if we make the non-Jewish woman come to see the seminar, we give her some CDs and she starts seeing the beauty of Judaism, she may really fall in love with that and really convert for the truth. And then if they get married, no, it's not the best, but it's not as bad as before. The problem is when the Jew is not religious, how can you come to the Goya that wants to marry him and tell her you have to convert? Conversion means to become an Orthodox religious Jew, to keep all the mitzvot. Without it, there's no conversion. Now she's going to come and say to you, what do you mean? I'm going to have to cover my hair. I'm going to have to dress a skirt. I'm going to have to bake challah. I'm going to have to do this to make brachot. I'm going to have to wash my hands. And look at him. This phlegmat is like a total goy. So I'm going to be Jewish and he's going to stay a goy? So what's the logic here? He won't let me be. And now when the Jew hears that she has to be a rebbitzin, he go crazy. Rabbi, no, no. Don't tell her these things. I don't want her to keep Shabbat. I want to drive with her on Shabbat. So there's really no solution. So the only thing you can try to do is first to bring the guy to me. And then we make him religious. And after we make him religious, he will understand that she's not for him. That's what you have to do.
Have you ever dealt with individuals that, like, it's my brother, so he was, like, at one point, a year and a half ago, he was. Like, he went to shul, like, he was. And then something happened, and he completely went the opposite. So, have you
found a nice Jewish girl,
yeah, that's also a solution.
What?
That's also.
A nice girl that's Jewish.
And maybe you find him a Jewish girl and you say, listen, I have a things. Maybe you'll reconsider, maybe. No, but the truth is that people go up and down all the time.
He's a bit stubborn, like a rock. Like, I don't know if.
I promise you that if you sit for a day or two and think only about how to trick him, to get him to meet with me or to listen at least to the DVD, you can find a way. Offer him something that he wants. I don't know what. Bribe him. Do whatever you can. Tell him, I want to make a deal with you. I'll do this and this and this for you if you're going to meet for half an hour with this rabbi. Not necessarily me. Anyone who can talk to him here in Toronto. You know, and if then he will agree, there will be a schut for saving that soul. And you know what? If he doesn't want to listen, what doesn't come through the head, come through the legs. He'll understand after a few years. He'll see the conflicts that he have in the house. And later he's going to come with problems and child support and all these things, and they'll understand. These marriages usually never succeed, never. They always ended up with bitter divorce or horrible lifestyle. Why? Because a person that especially that knows that the Torah is true and he lives with a Goya, and she comes with all her Christian's ideologies and this, Christmas, hey, let's pick a tree, I want to go visit my parents. He comes to her parents' house, he sees all the statues and the crosses and the cousins coming and everyone, and he's eating his heart. And tomorrow her uncle dies, so he has to stand in a church and repeat all the things that they say. Believe me, it will get to a point that he won't be able to stand it. Unless if his soul is so impure, then he won't feel any problem standing there in a church in front of Yoshke and saying all these words. You understand? I know a Jew that had a non-Jewish girlfriend, and she told him, my best friend is getting married. We are invited to the wedding. And she took him in New Jersey to some fancy church. He didn't know. Then he found himself going into a place, and the priest came. Everyone rise, and they started to say things. He was standing there and wanted to die. He didn't know what to do, to run out, to stay in, this, that. And that moment, he realized, I must break up with her. So what saved him, that he finally realized where he's going to end it up. You understand? Not everyone understands fast. It sometimes may take years. Any more questions before we finish? Yeah.
If a convert, a year later, there's her hair
A year after the conversion, she has to go again to the mikveh to do conversion again. Because that moment that she converted a year ago, she really never became Jewish. And if she had kids in that time, they have to convert. Because when she convert and start keeping mitzvot, it counts. If she convert and doesn't keep mitzvot, it doesn't count. It's a waste of time. Yeah? One second. Yeah.
I know, I'm saying with that case, that I think they want to go under the hoopah. That's why she's for herself. She wants to.
Oh, so that's a fake conversion. If he wants to take that risk, yes.
Just a very quick story. I have a client, probably about 55, 56, married a non-Jewish lady, and they have two very beautiful boys. Jump to the end of the story, they got divorced, and Baruch Hashem, I suggested a particular rabbi who I knew was very tough, but would be good for him. And you know how this rabbi got to him? Not only did he tell him, now your boys have to go through conversion, he told him, I'm sorry to tell you, you may live to 120. Ad mea v'esrim, there'll be nobody to say Kaddish for you. You know, that broke him down. And the tzahot that he has right now with the house and the division of properties and the this and the that, in the end they went to court, they split the kids. The bottom line, she moved to a different town and told him, you know what, you take the boys, I don't have time for
now that. Let me tell you the second part of that story. That rabbi was very clever and he got him to the place where he's supposed to be. But there's one more additional thing that he didn't tell him. That even if the kids converted, they're not his kids. And if they say Kaddish, it's like a stranger who say Kaddish. Because if your kids come from a Goya, they will never be your kids. Even if they get married, they'll never be your kids. You can never make them your kid. They are strangers to you. It's like an adopted kid. It's not your biological kid. You raise him, fine. But it's not your kid. He's now a new Jew that became. But he's not your kid. That's why I say you can marry her if it's your daughter. From the Torah, you could have married her. But Chachamim say you're not allowed to do it. But technically, if Hashem say you can do it, that shows you that he's not your daughter or not your son, yeah? Okay, last questions before we finish. Any last question?
A very deep question also I want to ask you. You remember there is, sometimes they said when a Jewish person get married to a Goya, and they said that there is like a lost soul, and it's happened to be that soul could be in the Goyish Neshoma, and then all of a sudden he wanna convert and become a Jewish person. You heard about that. What could happen, for example, to a Jewish boy? Can he have a Jewish soul? That nothing could help him, that he doesn't want to even live.
A Jew has a Jewish soul, and a Goy has a Goy soul. But I tell you what, sometimes we see Goyim that are very attracted to Judaism. It could be for a few reasons. One reason is that they may be Jewish, but they don't know it. their grandmother was Jewish, and then the other grandmothers didn't know that they're Jewish. It's in Inquisition in Spain and Portugal, they forced many South Americans to become Goyim, and some of them are Jewish and they don't know it, but they attracted very much to Judaism because it's a Jewish soul. That's one reason. Second reason, it's really Goyim, but the reason they attracted to Judaism is because when God gave the Torah to the Jews, they were in different body, in a different life, and at that time God came to all the nations to offer them the Torah. And the nation made a vote, and they vote, the majority ruled that they don't want to accept the Torah, because they asked too many questions, what's in it, what are we going to have to do? But the minority of every nation wanted to accept the Torah. So the Zohar, the Kabbalah teach that these Goyim who wanted to accept the Torah, and they couldn't because of the vote of their nation, so they come back in a new life, in a new body, and they have opportunity to convert. That's why I have Goyim, that many of them attracted to Judaism and they want to convert. And I have hundreds of them that sending me emails, hundreds. You know, so this is this kind of Goyim that wanted to accept the Torah and now they come back in this life and they listen to a lecture. And why Hashem got them to listen to this lecture? Why not the other Goy? Because Hashem is giving them the opportunity to convert now, because they wanted to convert then, but they couldn't. That's it. And there's many examples. There's no time to describe, but this is happening all the time. But it happens only from the descendants of Esav. There's almost no Arabs in the world who convert. And if once in a while you hear about one Arab out of a billion that convert, check his grandmother, you see she was probably Christian or something like that. But you don't know. Right now he lives in Egypt, he lives in Saudi Arabia. He thinks he's Muslim, but really technically his grandmother was European or something, or Indian from India. But it's not really Arabs, because the Torah says that Ishmael, the founder of all Arabs, have no merit to convert. But Esav has the merit to convert. One of the reasons that Esav is also bad, but he's not as bad as Ishmael. Ishmael is Pere Adam, the Torah say, wild beast. And we see today in the world what they do. Esav had the zchut of respecting his parents, mainly his father, Kibud Av Vaem Shel Esav. And also, Esav came from Rivka, not from the Goya. Ishmael came from Hagar, that she was a Goya. But Rivka was already an Hebrew from the family of Avraham Avinu. So there's a big difference. So the descendants of Esav, they have the merit to convert. But the descendants of Ishmael don't have that merit. Not that you don't have an exception to the rule. Here and there you can have. But by Christians you see thousands every year convert. Thousands all over the world. Here in Toronto there's a big conversion Bedin in Toronto that is well known as one of the best of converting converts, and is recognized even in Israel, the conversion here, in New York, in Israel, in Europe, in England. I have one Arab student from Dubai that he listened to one of my lectures and he decided that he wants to convert, but how is he going to convert in a country there's no rabbis? So he was in 12th grade, the beginning of the year. So he sat in class for 1 year, suffering, listening to all this in Islam nonsense. He wrote to me how much I suffer listening to this, knowing it's all nonsense. But I have to do it because I want to get my diploma, because I'm already registered to a school in England. And why I'm going, I told my parents I want to learn in England, the college in England. Why? Because I already contacted the rabbis in England, and as soon as I get there, I'll convert. Mm-hmm. So everything he has, where I'm going to go to learn, based on where there is a good Beit Din that can convert me. You understand? He cannot do it in his place, and he doesn't want his parents to know. He goes to England, he converts, and whatever happened, happened. First, he wants to convert. Baruch Adonai Lo'olam. Amen ve'amen. Thank you very much.